Hello, and welcome to episode 20 of the Bible Q&A with Pastor Stephen. My name is Stephen Pace, and I'm the senior pastor at Decatur Bible Church in Decatur, Michigan. This podcast attempts to answer Bible questions in a clear but thorough manner. If you would like to have a Bible-related question considered for a future episode, you can email me your question at PastorStephenDBC@gmail.com. Again, that's PastorStephenDBC@gmail.com. In this episode, we're going to begin a series of podcasts on the topic of heaven. So grab your Bibles and let's get started. Now, the first question that we're going to address in this series of podcasts on heaven is, what is death? So the first question we're going to look at is, what is death? The reason for this is a good place to start in regards to the subject of heaven. I'm going to begin by reading a quote from Mark Hitchcock. He says, quote, "One of the truths the Bible emphasizes again and again is the brevity of human life. Every picture of human life in the pages of Scripture stresses its temporal nature. The duration of human life is pictured as a flower that blooms in the morning and withers in the afternoon sun, a shadow that appears and fades away, a morning mist or fog that dissipates with the rising sun." See Job 14:2, Psalm 90, verses 5 through 6. So as we begin looking at this, the first thing to note about the question of death in regards to the Scripture is that the Bible mentions that death is separation and not extinction, or some use the term annihilation. So again, the idea of death biblically is separation rather than what we sometimes think of as either extinction or annihilation. And of course, we see this from the very beginning of the Bible all the way to the latter portions of the Scripture. And so basically, physical death is separation of the soul from the body. Spiritual death, we've heard of course, is the separation of the soul from God. And so that's the easy way to think of it. So again, physical death is separation of the soul from the body. When we think of spiritual death, that is the idea of separation of the soul from God Himself. I'm going to read a quote to you from the Ryrie Study Bible. Ryrie states, quote, "Death is always separation. Immediately, Adam and Eve experienced spiritual separation, and immediately they began to experience the decaying process in their bodies, which ultimately resulted in physical death." See Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. End quote. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and this will give you another example of the idea of death being not extinction or annihilation, or a ceasing of an existence, but again, that the idea of death in the Bible is separation, whether that be physical in terms of the body being physically separated from the soul, or the latter option or second option, which is the soul being separated from the Lord. Ephesians chapter 2 says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, and in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience." So there you see Paul speaking there in the chapter 2 of Ephesians, and he speaks about how we are made alive in Christ. That would be a simple way to think of chapter 2 of Ephesians, but from the onset there, he says that we were dead. Of course, there, the idea of being dead and the reason for it is the transgressions or sins that we have. that causes us to, again, a person to be spiritually dead is the idea there of being separated from the Lord himself. So the question is, what is death? Which we need to have an idea of this in order to actually come to any sort of understanding of heaven and all that is entailed with that. And so initially we see the answer to what is death, the first question. Death is, of course, therefore separation. The body and the soul separate. But we also have the idea of the soul that goes and is separated from a holy and righteous God. Now, when a person dies, of course, the body dies and the soul then goes to where? And that leads us to our second question, which is, where do people go when they die? So for question two, we're going to look at where do people go when they die? So when a person dies, the body is buried. Sometimes it's used in the scripture for euphemism for death is asleep. But we could just simply say that the body is buried. Now, I know that some bodies are cremated and such, but the idea there is that the body is buried or cremated, whatever the case may be. But what happens to the spirit, the soul of a person? Well, we know the spirit goes, the soul does, to one of two places. And so to get the answer from Scripture is where do people go when they die? First, we're going to see what happens in 2 Corinthians 5 in verse 8. What does Paul tell us happens for those who have trusted in Christ? So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 8, Paul says, "We are of good courage, I say, and prefer to rather be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord." Now that is the 95 NESB. The New King James renders it, "We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." So there we see that for those who are in Christ, when a person dies, and we think of physical death, their body, of course, is buried, cremated, whatever the situation may be. But immediately they're brought into the presence of the Lord. So the idea there is, again, if you think of what is death, it's separation. The body separates from the spirit, the soul. The body is buried in the earth, if you will. And then the spirit goes into the presence of the Lord. But of course, as I said, there are two options or two places that a spirit, a soul, goes after its physical death. One of which we've just seen, into the presence of the Lord, we think of that as heaven. But what about for the unbeliever? Where does that go? Where does that spirit, that soul go after the body has physically died? I'm going to read a few passages here. The first one is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 in verse 9. So that's 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 in verse 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 in verse 9 says, "These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." So there, and this is just one of many places, but the idea in particular is the latter half of the verse. It says away from the presence of the Lord. And so there what you see is that the contrast is between a believer. 2 Corinthians 5:8 goes into the presence of the Lord. The unbeliever goes away from the presence of the Lord. And so we see that there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 in verse 9. But I also want us to look at another passage, which is in Revelation chapter 20. So turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 20. And there I'm going to read verse 6 and then in verse 14. So Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. "Blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. Over these the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. So in short, what you see here is the reference to the second coming of Jesus Christ, the binding of Satan for 1,000 years, the millennium. But then you also see where the resurrection occurs for the souls of those who have been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and such. And what you see here is the idea of a resurrection that occurs. And so you see there's the reference there to death in verse 6. That's the second death. But then let's look at verse 14 of the same chapter. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. So if you were curious, from Revelation 20, verse 6, what is the reference there to the second death? Of course, that is the eternal state for those who are without Christ. And the place in which they will be the lake of fire, the place in which that the false prophet, Satan, and the Antichrist will be for all of eternity. And so it's obviously very somber when we think about answering this question, where do people go when they die? The scripture gives two options. There is the 2 Corinthians 5:8, the presence of the Lord. So that would be in his heavenly dwelling. And then, of course, ultimately, we see the new heavens and the new earth, Revelation chapter 21. But then, of course, you have those who are outside of faith. They have not trusted in Christ, and they are separated rather than in the presence. They're away from the presence of the Lord, 2 Thessalonians 1:9. And they experience what Revelation chapter 20 calls the second death, which is the separation from God from all of eternity. And so the two questions are answered so far. Death is, of course, therefore separation rather than annihilation or extinction. The body and the soul separate when a person dies. And then the soul, the spirit, goes into one of two places. And essentially, it is with the Lord in his presence, or it's away from his presence, meaning eternal separation. This is, of course, no easy subject to discuss, but it's, of course, a very important one as well, and we can be thankful that the Lord in his graciousness has given us the answers of what is death and what takes place at death and where people go. The encouragement is that when we are in Christ Jesus, when we have trusted in the promises of God and his death, burial, resurrection of our Lord Jesus, then we inherit eternal life. We believe on Christ and we escape the judgment. We have eternal life. But it's also a good reminder to share our faith with other people and to share the good news and the eternal life that is available only through Jesus Christ. And it's a good witness opportunity as well. And now for our third and final question, will everyone die? This is a question that is curious, and we're going to delve into this again. So having looked at what is death in the first question, where do people go when they die? This third and final question will be, will everyone die? So first, we need to start with what I would think of as a general principle. What is the foundation? Where do we start with trying to answer this question? And we're going to do that. And the way we answer the question is to turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. The author of Hebrews says, "And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment." So there we see in that one verse the answer to our question. And so it's very straightforward there. It's appointed for men to die once. And then, of course, you see there the reference to judgment there. The idea, though, I want you to focus on is that man is appointed, given over to death. So each person, if you will, has an appointed time of death when it will come. And so the question, of course, begins with the answer of the general principle that every human being is, if you will, appointed, designated, destined to pass away, to die. Of course, there is a nuance to this answer as well. Of course, there are a few people in the Bible that did not experience physical death. If you don't know who they are, the first is Enoch, and we see that in Genesis 5:24. Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. And so he did not experience physical death. So we see that in, again, Genesis 5:24. We also see this in another individual, Elijah, and that is in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11. This is somewhat similar to Enoch, where Elijah is, of course, delivered, taken up into heaven. And so there again, he is escaping physical death. But we also know that there is going to be a group of people who one day will not experience death either. This will be a group of people, whereas Enoch and Elijah individually escaped death. There's a group of people that one day will actually experience the same type of thing. I want you to turn to our final passage today in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in verse 17. Now, this passage is probably well familiar. This passage is on the rapture. This is where the doctrine of the rapture comes. In fact, verses 13 through 18. And if you notice verse 18, the passage on the rapture, the coming of the Lord Jesus, and such is supposed to be a comfort for each other, meaning those believers. This is one of the comfort one another passages. But for this purpose, I want us to look at verse 17. Paul says, "Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord." And so if you're not familiar with this passage, Paul has been speaking in verse 13 to the brethren, to the body of Christ there in Thessalonica. And he is reminding them that even though some of them have fallen asleep, notice verse 13 is a euphemism for death, that it's okay to grieve over those lost loved ones, but they are not supposed to grieve as though the unbelieving world does, with no hope. Why is that? Well, verse 14 says that one day the Lord Jesus will descend from heaven. He will then shout forth and he will rapture, if you will, harpazo. It's where we get the idea for the rapture, the catching up, snatching away of the believers. But you'll notice in verse 15, it says, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord," so that's Paul's authority, is the Lord himself, "that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord," but notice, "will not precede those who have fallen asleep," those who have died. The Lord is going to rapture them first, and then, verse 17 we read, those who still are alive will be caught up together with the Lord in the air. And so those who have died in Christ, their physical bodies will experience resurrection and all that is entailed with that. But for those who are alive at Christ coming for the church, and so what a great promise from the scripture that we know what will happen when a believer dies. Their body will be buried. Their body will remain here, if you will, on earth physically. You think of the idea of the burial. But the soul, the spirit, will immediately go into the presence of the Lord. We also know that one day the Lord will return and he will rapture. He will bring about the resurrection of the dead. And then also for those who are alive in Christ, they will experience the rapture as well. And so the answer to the question, will everyone die? Probably the best way to answer that question would be to say that it's appointed, as we saw in Hebrews 9:27, for every person to die. No one will escape it. However, there is, of course, the doctrine of the rapture that teaches that one day those individuals who are in Christ when he returns for the bride of Christ will actually not experience physical death. They'll immediately go, if you notice again, into the presence of the Lord. And so I think the takeaway for this particular episode, the first on heaven, is death is separation. Sin separates us from a holy, perfect, righteous God. And the way to, if you will, remove the separation is to trust in Christ, his propitiation for our sins. And when we do that, of course, we have our relationship restored with the Lord. And one day we may obviously experience physical death. It's appointed for us to die. However, we might be one of those who experiences the rapture. But the key thing to remember is death is separation. It's physically separating the body from the soul. But of course, there is the spiritual separation where we're separated from God due to sin and such. And so what a great, of course, encouragement to know that one day when we have trusted in Christ, that we will be with him forever. Well, that concludes today's episode, our first in a series on the topic of heaven. Be sure to tune in for our next episode. Until then, may God bless you.